It's filled with boisterous people, whooping and hollering and having quite a good time. At first, you don't notice exactly what's different about the place. Sure, the waitresses appear to be trying a bit harder, wearing nicer outfits and vamping it up a bit, but still, until you notice that the waitresses are actually men. Then everything changes. Not the bar, not the drinks, not the patrons. What changes is the way you look at the place, because you know the trick. You know how they did it. Well, there's a secret about marketing that this program is going to reveal to you. Once you know the secret, every successful company will look different. You'll understand, perhaps for the first time, that there is a complete disconnect between observable reality and the lies we tell ourselves. There is almost no connection between what is actually there and what we believe, whether you're talking about hospital cribs, soup, computers, people, cars, or just about any product or service we buy at work or at home. Note, when I say company, feel free to say to yourself church, nonprofit, campaign, PTA, job seeker, or whatever other entity is relevant to you. We all tell stories every day, and this program is about your story, too. How marketing works, when it works. Most marketing fails. I want to show you what marketing is like when it works. Here are the steps that people go through when they encounter successful marketing. The rest of this program is organized into sections built around each one of these ideas. Step 1. Their worldview and frames got there before you did. A consumer's worldview affects the way he notices things and understands them. If a story is framed in terms of that worldview, he's more likely to believe it. Step 2. People only notice the new and then make a guess. Consumers notice something only when it changes. Step 3. First impressions start the story. A first impression causes the consumer to make a very quick, permanent judgment about what he has just been exposed to. Step 4. Great marketers tell stories we believe. The marketer tells a story about what the consumer notices. The story changes the way the consumer experiences the product or service, and he tells himself a lie. Consumers make a prediction about what will happen next. Consumers rationalize anything that doesn't match that prediction. Step 5. Marketers with authenticity thrive. The authenticity of the story determines whether it will survive scrutiny long enough for the consumer to tell the story to other people. Sometimes marketing is so powerful it can actually change the worldview of someone who experiences it. But no marketing succeeds if it can't find an audience that already wants to believe the story being told. You're not in charge. People can't listen. The biggest myth marketers believe is this. I have money, which means that I am in charge. I have control over the conversation, over the airwaves, over your attention, and over retailers. You, the marketer, are not in charge. You are not in charge of attention, or the conversations, or even the stories you tell. Until marketers of all stripes realize this, marketing will never come near its potential to change things. There's too much to say and not enough time to say it in. New and improved and organic and healthy and union-made and calorie-free and low-carb and celebrity-endorsed and as seen on TV and on and on and on. You've heard the numbing statistics about new product introductions and media clutter so often, you've forgotten just how bad they really are. Not only are there too many choices, but as products and services have gotten more and more complex, there's a lot of teaching for marketers to do. Alas, there's no time to do it. Marketers need to teach consumers why their new product is worth the premium they need to charge, why their new formula is a breakthrough, and why consumers should abandon what they're using today. There are more and more competitors blocking you from getting your voice heard, allowing you to increase your share of consumer attention. And there are more and more media alternatives keeping you from telling your story to the masses. As a result, people pick and choose. Everyone will not listen to everything. Some people will hear part of your message and make an assumption about what your product does. Other people will ignore that part and instead focus on the way your logo makes them feel. And a third part will ignore all that and just look at the price. Even if we could be sure of the magic phrase that would turn a prospect into a customer, we can't use it because we don't know which customer is going to listen to which message. It's not crisp, it's fuzzy. You're not in charge. You can't control the conversation. Most messages don't come from marketers. Yes, it's a myth that you're in charge, that John Kerry gets to decide what people will hear and learn about him, that Dell or Allstate or Mini or Maytag are somehow in control of everything that gets received by the ultimate consumer of the product. In the business-to-business marketing world, and medicine too, this conceit is even worse. We'd like to believe that people are rational and informed. They are neither. Positioning, by Jack Trout and Al Ries, is one of the most important marketing books ever. And it's a great start, but it's only a start. Positioning, as practiced by most people, is one-dimensional. If they are cheap, we're expensive. They are fast, we are slow, and so on. The authors want you to choose a position for your product, knowing that the consumer will receive that position that you choose to send them. That's the way it worked in the old days, when a commercial could deliver precisely the story you hoped it would. Yes, you must choose a position, or it will be chosen for you. But no, you don't get to control the message. And no, a one-dimensional message isn't enough. Most learning about products and services and politicians goes on outside of existing paid marketing.